I'm delighted now to welcome back to the show Scott Harrison and Rod Harrison, no relation to one another. Scott Harrison is director of the play American Buffalo by David Mamet, which is opening on, well, tonight, Thursday night, at El Museo Cultural here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Michelle.
And Rod is an actor in that play, and I know I always give you a hassle about this, Scott Harrison, but it's like, here we have, once again, a play with sort of over-the-top histrionics depicting kind of unsavory American lowlifes.
Actually, you know, I really, I mean, the irony with this play is that, I mean, what really drew me to it is the humanity of the characters. I mean, they're definitely extreme. Three characters who are very extreme and very different, but what really struck me about it as I read it, and also just seeing what Rod and Todd and JD, the actors, have found, is just how human the characters are. And that's been a fun thing to explore and find.
So the play is by David Mamet, a Pulitzer Prize-winning, truly great American playwright. This is a play from 1975. Do you want to set up for us a little bit what it's about? Three characters,
sure.
Small ensemble.
Yeah, it takes place in a junk shop in Chicago, 1975, owned by Donnie Dubrow, who's played by Todd Anderson. And the play opens, he is with J.D. Bray Morris, who's playing Bobby. And Bobby is a young kid. He's a junkie trying to get clean. And Don is kind of taking him under his wing and has hatched this scheme to heist one of his customers' coin collection. A guy came in, bought a coin off him for $90.
It was presumably worth a lot more than
$90. Right. And so Donnie assumes that because he bought this coin for $90, he must be a coin collector. He must be wealthy. And all these characters are really living on the edge. They're really in desperate circumstances. So he hatches this plan with Bobby to steal this guy's coin collection. Teach, who's played by Rod, is a friend of Don's who hasn't been included on this scheme at the beginning, which we will find out why in the play. But gradually, he insinuates himself into the plan, and the results are both hilarious and tragic.
Great synopsis without giving it away. Rod Harrison, your character, Teach, is... I mean, all the characters, in a way, are, on the one hand, incredibly inarticulate, and yet they're so, I don't know if you want to call it poetic, but so expressive in the way that they put themselves out there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about, like, what it's like to become that character.
Well, I think, you know, it's about just the idea of sort of honor among thieves. You know, these great sort of ideals that the American dreams that people can hold on to, like the perfect crime or the perfect job or the perfect, you know, anything that they're striving for. That they're striving for this great deal to get these coins or to have something that's of value that only one person will know that it's of value and you can get a lot of money from it. They've got these ambitions towards higher ideals, but they're spinning wheels. They're not going anywhere.
And they're so stupid.
Well, I don't know that they're stupid. They're certainly in the moment. You know, they're thinking, but they're not thinking clearly because they're in desperate straits. But yeah, it's funny. My character, everyone calls him Teach. However, he's certainly not somebody that's been to school. You know, he's school of hard knocks. You know,
why is he called Teach?
Well, I think there are a lot of directions that you could go to explain why he's called Teach. You know, maybe the orator was too long of a nickname. You know, he certainly speaks a lot, and I think that he believes he has a lot of interesting and insightful things to say, and so he doesn't censor himself when he speaks.
And he's such an interesting character because he's so... blustering and philosophizing and vulnerable and really not somebody you'd want to know all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how I felt about him.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, the trap in doing a play like this is making these characters who are difficult to like, making them completely unsympathetic and just, you know, this guy is just a blowhard. He's just, you know, talking loudly. He just shouts. He just, you know, is there's no redeeming qualities. And then, you know, why do it? You know, why tell this story if these are just despicable people? There's no point. Nobody wants to watch horrible people doing horrible things. But, you know, these are poetic broken souls that are trying to find a way back on track towards that American dream. And they're so desperate that they're going to take any avenue available to them to get to that positive place.
I think the last time that you were on the show, Rod Harrison, you were playing Lord Buckley.
Yes.
And you had transformed yourself into Lord Buckley to the point where when you came into the cafe, I thought, there's Lord Buckley. Now you're an unrecognizably new person. You have transformed yourself into this guy Teach.
That's our task as performers, to be transformative.
Yeah. Scott, what is the challenge for you, and what is your job like in taking these, marginally likable characters and humanizing them?
Well, I think it's like Rod said. I mean, finding the desperation that these characters have, and what is that about? You know, it's the thing that we found the more we've worked on it is the story is about these guys trying to heist a coin collection, but it's not really about the coin collection. It's about self-respect. It's about regaining their dignity. Those are the kind of motivations that are driving these guys. And I mean, that's what that to me is what takes it out of, although there are parts of the play that are very funny, there are parts in the play where you're really rooting for these guys. I mean, you want them to succeed. And it's just been a lot of, we've just done a lot of exploration. We've also worked a lot with the language. I mean, there's a certain sense the language is so action driven. It's like getting on a roller coaster. And at a certain level, if you just trust the rhythm of the language, a lot of the story and a lot of the stakes are actually revealed. I mean, he's very poetic in the way he writes, but it's a very driving, visceral, kind of street poetry almost.
There's a lot of use of the word things. Like, what was he wearing? Things. Mm-hmm. What have you got there? Things. And there's a couple of words like that, and you think, are we supposed to know what these mean, or what these words actually mean? Is the nature of the poetry such that we, the audience, can extrapolate into that level of inarticulateness?
Yeah, well, I mean, the interesting thing about Mamet, I mean, he does use that, the thing, you know, they call the deal the thing, or the shot, you know, they call the World's Fair back in 1933 the thing. I think there's a certain element where Mamet, he keeps mystery in his plays. And I think there's a certain level to describing something as the thing, which as an audience member, you're like, well, what is that about? What is the thing? You know, and you gradually discover what the thing is over the course of the play, rather than just getting it spelled out for you at the beginning.
Well, it's one of the things that I was noticing when I was watching the rehearsal last night, is that incredible craft that's involved in the slow building of a mystery, the slow building of a story, just piece by piece, to where you begin to know what's going on. And that in itself is, it's a kind of a pleasure to watch.
Well, that's the great thing about Mamet. I mean, there's a whole chunk of the story that he just doesn't explain. I mean, there's huge things that happen in Act Two offstage that he gives you no clue as to what that's about. And it's a very detailed story that you have to create. And I really like that about him. I mean, that's another thing that drew me to the play, is just that sense of not knowing what's going to happen next, not knowing where this play was going.
Well, even in the text, if you look, there's very few stage directions. I mean, the most used direction in the text is pause. You know, but beyond that, there's really nothing that gives you any real hints of any line readings, of when somebody's being sarcastic or when they're joking. It's really open. There are a lot of mysteries to this play. And, you know, there are three characters on stage, but there are at least four other characters that are just as important that are offstage, that are only spoke about, that we only know through the story, that, that become these sort of specters that hover over the life in this junk shop, which sort of takes the play out of, I think, this realistic kind of gritty, you know, street drama, and turns it more into almost an existential exercise in honesty, in relationships between men, in American ideals of success, of wealth. You know, it really, there's kind of a Waiting for Godot aspect we were talking about. There's a character, Fletcher, who they're often waiting for in this play, and they're often asking about. And we as an audience don't know anything about Fletcher other than what we're told, but he's as much of a presence on stage as these other characters. There's a wonderful mystery to that drama, and that, you know, this play is a comedy, it's a drama, it's a tragedy, it's a thriller, it's a mystery play. There's a lot of things that are going on, and I think that's intentional in Mamet's writings, that you can make this play pretty much anything you want. You can have it serve any ideal that you're interested in as a director. You know, it's that open to interpretation and choice.
It is indeed. And when you go home at the end, you hope that you're with somebody else and you can discuss the meaning of how it ended and what actually happened and what Fletch did at the end off, mm-hmm. off stage and so on. There's also a real, I mean, you talk about the American dream, but, I mean, when I said before these guys are stupid, I mean, the guy sold a coin for much less than it was worth. He had the book of its value in front of him, didn't open it, and you're wondering how, I mean, there's this sense of backpedaling that your character, Teach, lost a bunch of money in a card game, then he accuses the other guy of cheating. You wonder what's going on with that. Is he making up the cheating to regain a lost sense of dignity? Did the guy really cheat? Why didn't he call him on it at the time? And that sense of which we've probably all felt, that emotional response to having done something really dumb that you could have avoided, is all over that play.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the interesting thing about the way it starts is that I think what it is for these characters is they have so little, they're in such desperate straits. They're looking for any glimmer of hope that they can find, that if the smallest glimmer presents itself, they're going to grab onto it. And they almost don't want to know. They almost don't want to verify, is it true or not. They see this glimmer of hope, and this is something I want to latch onto. And it's really their desperation and their wanting to regain their dignity that drives these choices that ultimately either fail or cause them to stumble.
We're talking to Scott Harrison, director, and Rod Harrison, actor, in the play American Buffalo by David Mamet. Now, is this the first David Mamet play that you've done?
Mm-hmm, yeah. We did a stage reading of it about 3.5 years ago at the Tin Star. This is the first Mamet play that I've worked on.
Because it seems such a natural for Ironweed Productions, which is your company.
Yeah, no, it really, it's a great American story. It's got suspense, which I love in theater, powerful characters. It's a real ensemble piece. So it definitely is. It's one I've been wanting to do for a long time.
The amount of energy that it takes to do your part, Rod Harrison, this part of Teach, who's, because he's so, what was the word you used? I mean, blustery, blowhard, that was the word you used. He is kind of on full tilt for a large majority of the production. And, I mean, do you become him? You must be exhausted.
I don't know. The play is definitely a sprint, you know, and it starts and there's no letting up until it's over. I don't know. You sort of play it as it's necessary, but it's certainly a workout, and I definitely enjoy it.
Because the characters are so real, and as I was watching it, completely lost in the drama, knowing, I mean, there's a way in which when you watch a play that is successfully functioning, you lose yourself completely. You lose, as an audience member, you lose track of your body, you lose track of time, you lose track of your breath. You are only on stage with these guys, and they're utterly and completely real. Is that your experience when you're in it?
Well, that's certainly what we're striving for. Yeah, to be as alive and honest and responding honestly and with real intention and commitment to your character. Scott, as a director, has given us a wonderful gift to allow us to play how it feels at the moment. So, you know, if at this night you're not feeling, you know, angry at this line because the other person didn't say it in a way that made you angry, then you play it how it feels. And it's a great freedom as an actor to be able to just be alive in the story and respond honestly and truly. And to work with another actor where you can do that together is a really rare thing. And it's been a wonderful gift. Todd Anderson, who plays Don, the owner of the Junk Shop, he and I were members of Theater Grotesco for years. And we've worked on stage together for at least 10 years. So we've got a lot of history and a lot of just common experience on stage. So we know how to play with each other. We know how to talk to each other, and we trust. And it, I hopefully that shows on stage in the relationships
so.
Of these characters.
Yeah, very much so. It's very compelling. The play is called American Buffalo. It's by David Mamet, produced by Ironweed Productions. Scott Harrison is director. Rod Harrison is one of the actors. Once again, no relation. And it opens tonight, the 14th of April, Thursday. And runs through the 1st of May. So it's Thursday through Saturday at 8 in the evening, Sunday at 2 o'clock at El Museo Cultural. And we're actually going to be doing a ticket giveaway right now. The first person who calls 428-1382 wins a pair of tickets, and you can decide which night you want to go. They'll just be on the list. The number for more information is, and if you want to just reserve tickets normally, it's 505-660-2379. And this is a special project of Warehouse 21, but it's at El Museo Cultural. You can also go to ironweedsantafe.com. Anything else before we go?
No, just come out and see it. It's a terrific play, terrific actors. It's been a great ride, so I hope you come see it.
Scott Harrison and Rod Harrison, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.